Praise the Lord. I want to read from Acts chapter 3 and pray the Lord would help me today. Acts chapter 3. The Apostle Peter had an amazing miracle. Y'all know that by now, I believe. The lame man was healed, and a congregation assembled that Peter was able to preach to and spoke to them of their sins against Christ and brought them to this one place where that he said in verse 19, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass," here's the warning, "that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and unto thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Amen. I want to preach this morning on one more chance to repent. Could we stand? Could we stand and ask the Lord to move in a special way here today? Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I'm asking that the Holy Ghost would work in our hearts, in our lives, and that you would please move upon me and anoint me that I might be able to preach the word to these good people. And I'm asking that you would draw folks and that you would turn people, that you would help me to be exceedingly tender to what you would have to say to people in this service for the glory of God and the advancement of your kingdom and the uplifting of Jesus Christ and the help of all people. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Peter is preaching the old message of repentance, not a message that many people hear nowadays. And somebody asked a little girl in a Sunday school class, "What is repentance?" And one of the children said, "It's being sorry for your sins." And another little girl said, "I think it's being sorry enough that you quit doing them." Amen. And I think the little girl had it right. That's exactly what it is. When people repent of their sins, they turn from them and turn to the living God. Now, I realize that a lot of that takes a miracle, because we can do our best, humanly speaking, to turn away from sins and turn to God, but it takes the miracle of the new birth for us to completely turn away from sin and overcome it. But it has to be something within each of our hearts to turn unto the Lord. Now, I've called this message "One More Opportunity, One More Chance to Repent," not because this is the third message I've preached on repentance, but because God was giving Israel another chance to repent. I think our Sunday school lesson, if you studied the one out of the book, had quite a bit about that, about how the Lord had called Israel from their backslidings over and over and over again. And here, as we have the Apostle Peter preaching about repentance. He gives the example of Moses and the prophets speaking to the children of Israel, and God raising up his mouthpieces to speak his words against the sins of Israel, giving them an opportunity to repent. Let me tell you something. When God gives you an opportunity to repent, don't take that lightly. Don't take that as something, God's just trying to make my day miserable, or that preacher's just trying to make my day miserable. Why can't I just go to church and have a good time? I tell you, you could have a good time if you'd repent. If you can't have a good time, not a long-lasting good time, unless that you turn from your sins. That's just the way that it is. You say, well, Brother Lloyd, if I have my own way, I have a good time. No, wait a second. You have a good time for a little time. That's it. There is pleasure in sin, but it's for a little time. It's for a season. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Let me tell you something. All of those sins catch up after a while. And friend, I just want to tell you, from all love in my heart that I have for you, there's going to be a payday someday for people's sins. And the most blessed thing that you could have is an opportunity to repent of those sins right here today. And God gave Israel great warnings. He raised up great men to speak to them of his words. Moses came down from the mount with a glowing face, shining with the very glory of God. As that he came down with the Ten Commandments to speak to the children of Israel, God's holy words, he spoke with authority. And he spoke with such a presence about him that he had to put a veil across his face to hide the glory, the fearfulness that caused in the children of Israel's hearts was overwhelming. And I tell you right now, if God by his greatness would reveal his glory in this place today, there wouldn't be a one of us sitting there very comfortably. We'd all fall on our face. The most holy and hallowed person in this place would not be able to stand under the greatness of the influence of God's glory. Let me tell you, God is a holy God. He's a great God. And part of Moses coming down in the manner that he did revealed to the children of Israel how great and holy that he was. The Ten Commandments, amen, were not just things that God put his regulations upon men, but they were a revelation of his great goodness and holiness to all of us. Let me tell you something. The violation of the Ten Commandments is not only something that's horrible against the greatness of God, but it's a sin against our own selves. I just am going to tell you, amen, stealing and committing adultery and lying and lustfulness and wickedness and covetousness, all of those things destroy people. They don't make a community nor a society nor a family any better. Don't tell me they do. Amen, I want you to understand right now that God in his great love and glory revealed his holiness through the prophet Moses, gave a covenant to the children of Israel, called them to a place of righteousness. And yet, you know what? The children of Israel rebelled continually against Moses. And Moses said, there would be a prophet that would arise like unto me. And he said, him will you hear. He's the one that you should hear. He said, if you don't hear him, God will destroy you. That's what he said. If you don't hear this prophet. Now, what was Jesus like unto him? Moses implemented a covenant. Jesus implements the new covenant. Moses implements types and shadows. Jesus is the fulfillment of it all. And so therefore we have the one that implemented the type. We have the fulfillment. We have someone that implements the Passover lamb. And we have the lamb that's come to take away the sins of the world. We have all of these things. Amen. He's likened to Moses in the fact that he implemented a new covenant. But make no mistake about it, he's greater than Moses. Amen. And people that, amen, came against Moses, and folks that raised up their voices against Moses, sometimes the earth would open up and they would go quickly down into the pit of fire and be lost forever. Amen. There were people that spoke against Moses and his wife that God smote with leprosy. There were people that spoke against Moses and raised up their voice against the man of God, and God judged them very quickly. Plagues went out throughout the children of Israel. Sometimes fiery serpents would go out among the children of Israel. Why? Because not because Moses' flesh and blood was great, but Moses represented the word of God. Moses spoke for God. That's why. Disrespect to Moses was disrespect to God's word. Rebellion against Moses was rebellion against God's word. And so therefore there was plagues and judgments upon them because of the way that they treated the man of God. But I'm telling you, make no mistake about it, one greater than Moses had come to them. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews, God, and at sundry times had spoken unto us by the mouth of the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. Yes, he's likened to him in the fact that he indeed raised up, amen, a covenant. But I'll tell you, there's nobody like Jesus Christ. Amen. And if God judged people for not listening to the man of God, the mouthpiece from heaven named Moses, of how much sore punishment, amen, shall they be thought worthy who hath trodden the blood of this covenant underfoot. I'm telling you, it's a greater thing right now. You say, well, I'd have been scared to death to have done anything against Moses or the other prophets. Amen. And the other prophets are listed here. I mean, listen, one king sent out folks against Elijah, and he called down fire from heaven. Another group came, he called down fire from heaven. Finally, one man came and fell down before him and said, please, don't do anything to my people. He honored the man of God. He understood the greatness of the word that was being spoken right there and how God defended his prophets. But listen, there's one greater than Elijah that I'm preaching to you about here today. Amen. One greater than Elijah. So, oh, I wouldn't have wanted to have done anything. He called fire down from heaven on me. Listen, brothers and sisters, I could just tell you even about gospel preachers right here. There was a man in Virginia. It was a good gospel preacher. And a fella beat him up one day and left him beside the road. Was it a coincidence a few days later that a car hit him and drug him right there to the place where he led the preacher, laid the preacher, left the preacher? Car hit him and drug him right there and left him dead. Was it any coincidence? I doubt it. Just want you to understand, there's one greater than a preacher here today that I'm preaching to you about. I'm talking to you about Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was saying, that God brought to you a message through Moses. God brought to you a message through the prophets. And Moses was a prophet, a man of God, and God defended his word that he spoke through Moses and Samuel and the other prophets. But I want to ask you, what is he going to do? Amen. Here he has brought to you his son. And there is one greater than Moses, greater than Samuel, greater than Elijah. Amen. And his message to you is to repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent John the Baptist preaching repentance and they rejected him. And here God sent his son and they crucified him. And God raised him from the dead. I have to admit, God is a merciful God, and that is my point here today. In Matthew chapter 21, there's a story that I need to read to you. Matthew 21 and verse 33, it says this. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took the servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render unto him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You know what he was preaching to these people right here? He said, listen, you rejected this prophet, this prophet, this prophet, and God sent his son, and you did the same thing to him you did to Moses and Sam, all these other prophets. You got in a habit. You rejected the word here, and it really didn't matter even if the son came. You rejected him too. Can I preach to you here today? It matters how you listen to the word of God. It matters how you heed the word of God. Amen. When that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, amen, how the rich man cried out, please send Lazarus back from the dead to preach to my brothers. And what was said? Said they have Moses and the prophets. And if they won't listen to their preaching, they wouldn't listen to one raised from the dead. That's what he said. And I want to preach to you, amen, that the children of Israel had Moses and Isaiah and different ones, and they got in a habit of rejecting the word of God that came through these others. And even though Jesus, the Son of God, came and died on a cross and rose from the dead, they still would not listen. Amen. It matters how you treat the word of God, my friend. It matters how you reverence the word of God, my friend. Oh, yes, it does. You can say, well, it doesn't matter to me. Yes, it does. It does something to your own spirit and soul. You get harder and harder and harder and harder Amen. It's easier to resist it. It doesn't matter who's preaching it. It doesn't matter who's saying it. Amen. Let me tell you something. The least of the preachers that stands behind this pulpit and preaches to you the word of God has given to you something wonderful and valuable. And woe be to the person that degrades the message that comes from God, no matter how they babble. Amen. No matter how many mistakes they make. If it's a word from God, if it's from this Bible, it's a valuable thing, my friend. It really is. Amen. You say, Brother Lord, now wait a second. I'm not trying to lift up a preacher, man. I'm talking about God's word. If they represent God's word, friend, you better be careful about that. Because the children of Israel heard and did not repent, and heard and did not repent, and heard and did not repent, until that the very Son of God could preach to them and they would crucify him. Now let me tell you something. God was giving them one more chance. In the parable of the vineyard, I'm struck at how that the owner of the vineyard continually tries to give them another chance. He sends them this one and they beat him, and they send him this one and they kill him, and finally, I'm going to put my own son in danger. Surely they will listen to my son. Will they? We know that they did not. And I think to myself, what will God do to get some people's attention? Moses comes from the mountain with a glowing face. And eventually they reject him. And Elijah prays fire from heaven down. And they eventually reject him. And Isaiah can turn the sun back 15 degrees. And they saw him in half. And I think to myself, what will God do to get your attention if he'd send his son after over and over and over and again, giving them an opportunity to repent? Hey, friend, let's just be honest. There's some people here that God wants your attention, and you're not giving it. You're really not. Just come on. Come here. If you hadn't listened to anything else I've said this morning, would you admit this? God wants your attention, and you're really not giving it, are you? You're really not. So he gave his son, and that's not enough to get your attention. What's he going to do then? What bigger thing is he going to have to do? How is he going to make your heart tender? What's going to happen? Let me tell you something. He's given you one more opportunity today to repent. I'm also amazed at that parable of the vineyard. Did it not end with this assumption that if they rejected the Son, if they rejected the Son, that there would come immediate judgment? Is that not true? But you know what I read here in Acts chapter 3? That God gave them another chance to repent. I read in Acts chapter 2 that God gave the children of Israel another chance to repent. For on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and believe. And here in the next chapter, Peter again speaks to them and says, repent. In the parable of the vineyard, amen, the son was the last chance. Amen. But God, in his great mercy, even went beyond the parable of the vineyard and said, I'm going to give you another chance, Israel. I'm going to give you another opportunity. I'm going to open wide my mercy one more time. Amen. And there was the opportunity. If they would have cried out, and some did, if they would have cried out, God would have done some amazing and glorious things. And so I'm preaching to you here today that there have been many messages went across this pulpit, and I fear that some have not turned to give their full attention to God as of yet. But here's one more chance, one more opportunity, one more Sunday, one more, one more. What are you going to do with it? Oh, God. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just feel in my soul that there are some folks that they're in danger, in such danger, it would scare them to death if they knew what was just ahead. But I plead the blood over every lie of the devil. I plead the blood, and I pray that you would move, dear Savior. Oh, settle in this place. Come in this house. Help people to be tender. Help people to understand. Help people to listen. Oh, God. Father, I'm asking for your glory to come down. I know you're a merciful God. And I'm praying for you and your mercy to deal with people to be saved. To deal with folks that's half-hearted, cold, and lukewarm, and indifferent to turn from their sins and serve the living God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you keep praying, church? Would you bow your heads, please? Hey, listen, this is all I could get. I don't make any apologies for what the Lord wants to say. There are people right here today that God has given you an opportunity. While things are going pretty good, maybe not as good as it looks to everybody, but still fairly good, God's given you an opportunity to give your attention to Him, to turn and start paying attention to Him. And while the Lord is dealing, and while there's a stillness in this place, I'm going to ask you to boldly get up and come to this altar and say, I am going to turn my heart completely to God. Would you come right now? Would you please? Would you please come? Would you please come right now? Oh, let the Lord deal with you. Let the Lord deal with you. Oh, come on, church, would you? I hope you're praying deep in your soul. I hope you're praying. Hey, I've got to turn my heart to you, Lord. Would you come? Would you come? God bless you. Come on now. Keep a praying, church. I feel the Spirit of God. I'd really rather somebody so turn to the Lord that all we know about is how wholehearted you've become after this service. But right now, you know, you got one more chance. You got one more chance to repent. One more chance to turn your heart to the Lord. One more chance. Come on. This is it. This is it. This is your chance. God bless you, buddy. One more chance to repent. The Lord's trying to love you. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Come on. I feel the Spirit of God convicting people. I hope the church is serious about this. Hallelujah. You're going to come. You're going to come. You're going to come. There's one more chance. One more chance. Oh, my heart is very concerned and moved for some here today. There may come a time where you're not able to cover up so easily as though things are going well when they're not. You better listen to me. You better listen to me. I'm telling you, you better. Oh, yes. Come on. Come on. You know deep in your heart, you know that's what you need to do. That's what you should be. You should have already come. You know it. I love you. If you don't think I do, oh, God, have mercy on you. I love you, and God loves you. I'm trying to rescue you, my friend. I really am. I'm trying to change your near future and your eternity. That's by preaching to you the word of God. Your only hope is to come to this altar and pray right now. Do you understand that? That's your only hope that you have. The only hope you have. Friend, please don't sit no longer. Please come right now. Please. God's trying to do a good thing in your life. Yes, he is. Will you let him? You got one more chance. You got this chance right here. Oh, could we stand and please, church, would you stay reverent? And oh, please, would you come? You say, I'm going to come. Maybe you need to come as a family. Maybe. Well, I don't feel like just giving a general altar call right now. I feel the Spirit of the Lord drawing somebody. There's a battle going on in your heart. There's a battle right there. And God's trying to win the war for your soul. Please. Just a little while longer. Just another chance. Another chance. Another chance to repent. Another chance. God bless. Kevin, Lord, God bless. Listen, there's a world of heartache and grief ahead of some people. It really is. Oh. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Glory. Oh, glory. Glory. Ha 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 ha.
glory, 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 glory. Oh, God's a softening the hearts. Will you come next? Will you come next, please? Come on. You think these people are burdened like this just by accident? There's people that's praying, and no doubt God's moved them to praying. And I don't feel like this is everybody. There's some may even come because of a burden for someone else. Would you come, please? Church, would you raise your hand one more time? Oh, come on, one more time. Oh, I don't want to be in too big a hurry. Oh, please. I know there's a lot of folks right here that's tore up, and I would say there's a greater burden in some hearts over you than you have for your own soul, for your own family, for the direction that you've already set for your life. And I don't know what to say. I really don't. We've got tears, and God's given you one more chance. He's given you several. And I'm not saying even this is the last of His mercy, but I'm telling you, I know that this is one more of the many and the abundant that God has already given to you. And I wouldn't take it lightly. I wouldn't take it lightly at all, because this could be your last one. You don't know. I give you just a little while longer, and then I'm going to call everybody else into this altar, but just one more chance, one more time. Would you come? Would you come? God loves you. We love you. We are so burdened and concerned for you, and we're just concerned for you. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Give you a little longer. Maybe a few could gather in around these that's already praying. If you'd like to come and help these pray, please come on. But if there's someone that's been holding back, don't hold back any longer. The Lord loves you. He really does. Amen. He cares for you. God's got a great plan for your life. He has something for you. Yes, He does. Oh, yes. Please don't leave. Oh, yes. Please come to the Lord. Let the Lord help you. Oh, yes.